Some of you know Catherine Wells. She's a church member here, and she has an acupuncture practice in Pinehurst. And you may remember her because this spring she led a centering prayer small group here at the church that used her acupuncture ministry. And I know several of us have also seen her for treatment. But anyone who has been to Catherine's office would have seen this amazing sign she has posted above her desk. Now, in case that's too hard to read, we can zoom in a little bit. Don't believe everything you think. That is her sign. That is the message she wants to have sink in to herself and to her patients. Not don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything you think. It's a reminder that our thoughts can get the best of us. We can start down this spiral where we make assumptions and it clouds our vision of what's really going on. The people in the story Pastor David just read for us, they had some assumptions too. And I would venture to say it clouded their vision. They knew there was a man in their midst who acted in really strange ways, and they could only assume he was possessed by demons. So they also assumed the best thing to do was to chain him up and keep him away. There once was a man who had demons. For a long time, he wore no clothes and did not live in a house, but in the tombs. Many times, the unclean spirit within him seized him. And for this reason, he was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. The Gospel of Mark adds another detail here that we don't get in Luke. It says the man would cry out and bruise himself with stones. He was always howling, it says, and no one could restrain him. No one had the strength to subdue him. So all these things made people think, well, there's only one conclusion. This guy has to be possessed by demons. And that became the story. Ever since then, no one would go near him. No one would live near him because he was dangerous. That's the label that he wore from then on. But is all of that true? Don't believe everything you think. I would love to hear the story again without any reference to demons. Let's just take that assumption out. Isn't it possible that there is some other explanation for why this man was suffering? So let's hear it again with just the sights and sounds we could observe if we were seeing it for ourselves. There once was a man. For a long time, he wore no clothes and did not live in a house, but in tombs. Many times he would be seized. Maybe you could say he had a seizure. For this reason, he was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and run into the wilds, where he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When we hear the story this way, when we set aside those old assumptions, it makes me think there might be other reasons why he suffered the way he did. Maybe he had major depressive disorder, and that's why he would cry out and even self-harm. Maybe he had a condition like epilepsy, and that would explain the seizures, or maybe those are what we would now call panic attacks. I don't know. I just wonder if God is calling us to see more to the story, to see beyond the initial labels we put on people. The story continues. When Jesus arrived to the land where this man lived, Jesus commanded the unclean spirit to come out of him. As soon as he heard this, the man fell down before Jesus and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." It's a pretty dramatic response, right? But I love what Jesus does next. All Jesus does next is say, "What is your name?" He cuts through the drama. He cuts through the reputation this guy has. He cuts right to the heart of it when he looks him in the eye and just asks, "What's your name?" Jesus is the ultimate non-anxious presence. He's just steadily there, watching us, asking us the question we most need to hear. But then the man answers Jesus in a way I do not understand. Instead of saying, "My name is Josiah," or "My name is Philip," or "My name is Samuel," instead he says the name of his demon. He doesn't say his own name. Instead he says, "Legion," for a legion of demons had entered him. "What's your name?" "My name is 3,000 demons." This absolutely breaks my heart. This man has become so identified with what the world assumes about him that he can only assume it too. This man has so thoroughly believed what the villagers and the pig farmers and the guards all think of him that he believes it too. Now he doesn't even know his own name. He only knows their name for him. Legion. And we do this to ourselves, too. We start to identify with the labels the world puts on us until we believe it, too. You know, the morning I went to write this sermon, I saw an email from a young family who had been visiting our church and had decided they didn't want to come back. Now, they loved our friendliness, they loved our hospitality, but they said they just weren't comfortable with the idea of a woman pastor. So there I was trying to gear myself up to write a message to proclaim to my community when suddenly I felt very small. I'm just a woman. I'm a woman pastor. There's Bible verses about people like me. And I'm sure that when we're in those moments, God is trying to tell us, "Hey, remember who you are. Remember the name I gave you." I'm sure God is trying to whisper to us, "You have a calling and a life and a purpose." Maybe that's why Jesus asked this man for his name, to try to call him back to himself. But somehow the only voice we listen to when we're in that zone is the one that reduces us to a label. "What's your name?" "I'm a divorcee. That's really all you need to know about me." "I'm a woman. I'm just an old retired guy. I'm just a 20-something. I'm a minority. I'm an ESL learner. Oh, I'm a single parent. I'm just an intern. I'm just a fifth grader." No matter what the label, the danger comes in thinking our whole self can be boiled down to that. We aren't just that. We aren't just what the world sees us as. Jesus sees things differently. No matter what label you brought in with you this morning, I believe Jesus cuts through the drama, cuts through the reputation, cuts right to the heart of it when he looks you in the eye and gives you your true name. That's just what Jesus does. When the world looks at someone like Peter and thinks, "Well, there's a flake," Jesus looks at him and calls him a rock. When the world looks at Mary Magdalene and thinks, "There's a fast woman," Jesus makes her his first preacher. When the world looks at Zacchaeus and calls him rich and mean, Jesus calls him a son of Abraham. When the world looks at a Samaritan and thinks, "Oh, there's another nasty foreigner," Jesus calls him a good neighbor. Jesus says we are always more than we think. We may think all we are is a collection of 3,000 demons, 3,000 inadequacies and hypocrisies and things we wish were different, but Jesus says we are so much more than that. We are his beloved. We are worthy of love and healing. We are worthy of having Jesus look us in the eye and ask, "What is your name?" One thing I love about this church is that when David opens a service and introduces himself, he doesn't say, "My name is David and I'm the senior pastor here." Although he could. He could say, "I'm David, I'm the lead pastor." Instead, every single Sunday, he stands up and says, "My name is David and I'm one of the pastors here." Because this is a place that rejects labels like superior, inferior, just a woman, just an associate. This is a place we come to every Sunday because we don't have to believe the story the world is telling about us. We get to believe the story Jesus is telling about us. If ever you forget your true name, just remember how the Lord labels you. He says, "You are the salt of the earth." He says, "You are the light of the world. You are precious in my sight and honored. I have called you by name. You're mine." Thanks be to God. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord, I thank you that you know us from birth. You know us. You know who we are at our core, far beyond any categories or labels or diagnosis or sin. When the world looks at the outward appearance, you look at the heart. And for this, we humbly thank you. This is a holy moment of worship. So we pause now to confess to you that we are eager to label others and chain them up in their categories. When there are mysterious things going on in the world, we might be quick to call them evil, just so we can distance ourselves from them. So God, I ask you to forgive all of us. Forgive us for our assumptions about others. Free us from our assumptions about ourselves. Holy Spirit, move in our hearts right now. Help us let go of whatever we used to think so we can make room for the new thing you're doing. Let the same mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus, that is in Christ Jesus, our resurrected Lord. That one who is always standing here so steadily looking at us, asking us the one question we most need to hear. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.